At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
A publisher in the Netherlands has caused a bit of controversy there by announcing that it's going to use AI to translate some commercial fiction it publishes. Undoubtedly, AI has improved its ability to translate languages, but has it got that good? Mary Phelan is chair of the Association of Translators and Interpreters. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Because I would imagine when someone's translating a book, it's not just a straightforward word-for-word translation. There's idioms and the spirit of what's being said.
Well, I think when anybody is translating anything, it's not just word for word. Now, I do think the title of the Guardian article is slightly misleading. So they do say that the Dutch publisher is planning to use AI for 10 commercial fiction books. So commercial fiction apparently is thrillers, fantasy, science fiction, crime, horror, romance. But if you read down through the article, they also say that a human will post-edit the translation. So basically, AI will create a draft translation, and then a human will actually review it and check for any errors. So they'll be checking for things like what you're talking about, like idioms or so on, or particular metaphors or a particular use of language that AI doesn't cope with very well. And AI, at the best of times, is kind of unpredictable. So it's interesting that the publisher is coming out and, you know, making this public, you know, announcing it to the world. I wonder if other publishers around the world are just doing this on the quiet or whatever. We don't really know.
Yeah. Look, because I imagine perhaps there may be situations where you can come to a paragraph and there's a metaphor that the author uses or some way of expressing an idea. And if you're translating it, say, into English, you might have to express it in a completely different way.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right. So there could be an expression that works in the source language, you know, and that makes zero sense in the target language. So the translator has to make a call, you know, do I keep it, even though it sounds weird? Do I keep it because it's part of the foreign language culture? Or do I try and find an equivalent that has the same meaning, but that works in English? And there could be cultural issues as well. So, you know, something could be mentioned that exists in one culture and we mightn't be familiar with it in English. So how do you convey that? Do you paraphrase it? Do you explain it? What do you do with it? I don't think the machine can cope with that. And then there are things like, you know, rhymes. You know, sometimes, you know, you might have a particular rhyme where you're repeating a sound, and that's always difficult to translate. So a translator mightn't be able to get the rhyme to work there, but they might introduce a rhyme somewhere else to compensate for that loss. You know, translators are always thinking about these things. So a human has a brain that they can apply to the work, and they can work with the text to ensure that it works as well as possible for the reader.
Yeah. In those situations, actually, is it standard procedure to go back to the author and say, you know, I am going to change this paragraph because it won't make as much sense to an English reading public?
I don't think that would happen too much. Now, translators do go back to authors to ask them questions about something, you know, mightn't make total sense to them. So if they have access to the author, that could be really, really valuable. But if they're changing something minor, I don't think the author is going to care particularly.
Yeah. Are there forms of software available now to translators? And I mean translators of books.
For all translation, there has been various technology tools for decades, basically. So this goes back a long time. So I think listeners might not realize this. So it starts with machine translation. So that began with parallel text. So for example, in the European Union, we have so many languages and so much translation is happening. That created a huge corpus of text that have been translated into all these different languages. And then they added other translations as well. And so the first system was based on statistical machine translation. So it was getting algorithms to work out what what translation worked in this in a particular case. And sometimes it worked perfectly and sometimes not so successfully. And more recently, it's become what they call neural machine translation. So that's often described as a black box. So they're trying to get it to think like a human. So that has changed things and improved things to some extent. And more recently, you have AI. So AI has an added advantage. It's working with these really large large language models, LLMs. So it's heaps and heaps of data in different languages, but particularly in English, because there's loads of even more available in English because it's such a world language. So some people nowadays are getting trained as prompt engineers because you can prompt AI, you can give it instructions. So in the case of this commercial fiction, you could say, for example, translate this in US English, translate this in the style of Stephen King, translate this for an educated English audience. You can give it those instructions, which is something that's, you know, the Google Translate that listeners would be familiar with didn't have. So you can actually instruct it. Translations would also use translation memories where they could have their own kind of software that would store all their translations. So they could use them again in the future instead of thinking, oh, how will I translate this? They go back to, you know, the machine will give them suggestions based on their previous work. So, yeah, I don't think any translator nowadays is working without some form of technology. Absolutely have to use technology nowadays. And all the translation courses like the MA in Translation Studies courses across the country, they would all have a module on translation technology. It's just obligatory.
Yeah. So translators wouldn't be worried about their jobs at the moment?
Well, there is always a worry, and we wouldn't be too keen on all publishing companies just having, you know, translations done by AI with the help of a post-editor, a human post-editor. We think that humans contribute a huge amount. I mean, if we think about an honorary member of our association, that's Frank Wynne. He's a prize-winning literary translator from Sligo. He's won the International Dublin Literary Award twice. He's won the Independent Foreign Fiction Prize as well. Scott Moncrief Translation Prize twice. He's a fantastic translator. And you know, he's winning these prizes because he's doing such a wonderful job. And I don't think AI or AI plus a human post-editor is going to be winning any of these prizes in the future. It's just not going to happen.
Yes.
It'll just be a different experience for the reader. It won't be as good an experience because it'll just be bland. It won't have the same impact as reading something that's well-crafted and well-written and so on. And you have to keep in mind the author, the original author, has put a lot of work into their book. You know, and it's not, you know, okay, so this Dutch publisher is kind of creating a new market for some authors by translating these 10 books into English with the help of AI. But, you know, long term, I just wonder about, you know, publishers' reputation. You know, is it really a good idea? But it's interesting that they're just doing it with 10 books. They're, you know, it's an experiment. Not that many books are translated into English.
That's true. We shall see. We have to leave it there, I'm afraid, Mary. Thank you so much for your time and talking with us today. That was Mary Phelan there, chairperson of the Association of Translators and Interpreters Ireland. Scott Moncrief, by the way, was a fellow who translated Proust. No relation.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.